This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. DoorDash, your door to more.
You know who came in handy over our wedding weekend? DoorDash. We were in Savannah getting married, beautiful weekend, but obviously with a baby and a lot going on with planning a wedding, there was a lot of little things we forgot, like batteries. Also, we had a little late night party with some friends, DoorDash some alcohol. It was amazing, you know, when you're, especially when you're in a city that you're not from, well, now he's familiar with Savannah, but you don't have all the convenience of travel and things like that. There is nothing better than having DoorDash by your side to send out and have whatever you need basically delivered right to your door, whether it's food, whether it's snacks, whether it's batteries, whether it's alcohol. DoorDash has you covered.
One of my favorite things about DoorDash is when you are leaving somewhere and you're so hungry and you're like, okay, I'm going to order DoorDash. And by the time I get home,
boom,
it's at the door.
I'm ready.
Hot
it's
and ready.
So good. So whether you're sick at home, you need to restock alcohol for that party, or you just need some essentials that you just don't feel like going out late at night, DoorDash has you covered. DoorDash, your door to more. Download the DoorDash app now to get almost anything delivered. Must be 21 years or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Alcohol available only in select markets.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Well, guys, I know a lot of people are still talking about some of the things that are going on in our country, the social changes that we are fighting to improve, the protest. And we would just want to use this time a little bit to bring some awareness to some organizations that, if you want to continue to support these causes, you can donate either your time or your money to. So we just want to bring some awareness to the NAACP Legal Defense and Education Fund. It's America's premier legal organization fighting for racial injustice. Through litigation, advocacy, and public education, LDF seeks structural changes to expand democracy, eliminate disparities, and achieve racial justices in a society that fulfills the promise of equality for all Americans. LDF also defends the gains and protections won over the past 75 years of civil rights struggle and works to improve the quality and diversity of judicial and executive appointments. So again, if you want to donate to the NAACP Legal Defense and Education Fund, go to NAACPLDF.org. That's NAACPLDFORG. And please consider donating. Every little bit helps. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Vile Files. I'm your host, Nick, joined by my producer, Chrissy. Chrissy, how are you doing on this fine Monday morning?
I'm doing magical, Nick. How are you doing?
I am doing so good.
sounds like it.
I'm doing fine. Hey, listen, it's been a lot.
It's been a week, obviously, I think, for everyone. And things are still going on in this country, and it's one of those things where you're trying to find the silver lining to things. I think for a lot of people, it's a scary time, a lot of confusion. It's back to back in terms of, you know, the COVID and obviously these protests. And
what's it like where you are, where you're living?
It's all around fine. I mean, there's been protests in the area, but nothing, you know, seemingly all peaceful. But yeah, I mean, listen, like sometimes, I've seen posts out there, about, there's a lot of jokes about canceling 2020 but you know what, maybe there a lot of good can come from this. Obviously there's a lot of things that are not good going on. There's people have been hurt and businesses have been damaged, and that's never okay. And we don't condone any of that. But big picture wise, you know, there's been a lot of positives in terms of real change and real awareness going on in this country. And I think that is a great thing. And I think we just got to try to stay positive while continuing to ask ourselves how we can help create real positive change in this country and in our worlds and in our own worlds. And, you know, not just, you know, like kind of always, it does start in your own little bubble. We have our bubbles, our lives, our communities, and creating change in our bubbles are a great way to start. And that can, and those bubbles can expand to your community and it's so on and so forth. So, we appreciate you guys tuning in. It's a fun episode. You know, we've had a lot of great guests for our Ask Nicks, but we thought it would be a great time to just, I'm just gonna handle this one on my own, you know?
Yeah.
I'm gonna give them the full on Nick coverage. And we got some great calls today.
Some great calls.
A lot of discussions about nudes and some insecurities about what we do with these nudes. And there's, some wild calls. But you know what? We appreciate people sharing the stories. Without you sharing your stories, we don't have this show. So we sincerely thank you to our callers for being so open and honest about their situations and helping us all learn. So many of these calls are so relatable, whether it's specific or not, but the situations and the feelings they bring up inside us are what's the most relatable thing. So as always, don't forget to send in your questions at asknick@castmedia.com, cast with a K. We'd love to hear your stories for the people who have not emailed us in yet. But other than that, anything else to add, Chrissy?
No, I'm excited. I've been excited getting to know people as they like send in their questions and stuff. It's been fun getting to know people.
Yeah. We definitely appreciate the vulnerability of our listeners and our callers. So as always, thank you so much. We appreciate it. And without further ado, let's get to it.
What's your time with Nick? Let's ask Nick your sexy questions.
How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. What's your name?
Good. I am Jennifer. I'm 24.
Hi, Jennifer, 24. How can I help?
Okay. So this is just wrought with all sorts of issues. So I have been dating my fiance for just over 3 years.
You're still together?
Still together. Yeah. Okay. So just for 3 years. And I told you guys in the email. So he's 16 years my senior.
Okay.
I've always dated older guys. I was pretty accelerated in school, graduated really young from undergrad, graduate. I was an only child, so I was just around older people all the time. It was much more comfortable for me. And I'm super intimidated by anybody my age. I think it bothers me to be around younger girls because I have rock bottom self-esteem. So, you know, I just don't like the way I look. I don't like being around girls my age. So it was just easier to date, I think, older. So I think part of what I took for granted is dating older guys. I was always the youngest girl kind of in our circle. And kind of fast forward to now, my fiance, the closest person that he talks to is his nephew, who's a year or two younger than me. So a little bit of a situation I'm not used to, because again, I think I was just taking for granted the fact that I was the youngest, and now I'm not, because now he's dealing with girls that are much younger and hotter and all that stuff. So we started dating, and 5 or 6 months into the relationship, it just became kind of a running joke with the three of us that his nephew would text us pictures about girls that he was with or he wanted to get with. And we would just kind of tease him about whether we thought they were hot, whether he should go for them, how's the sex, all of that.
Okay.
So naturally, you know, 3 or 4 months into it, I was like, hey, like, what does he think of our pictures? Just naturally assuming that he had been sending, there was some reciprocity there, and he had been sending pictures as well, kind of comparing.
When you say our pictures, what do you mean by our pictures? Like, you know, Christmas cards?
Yeah, well, some of that of it. A little explicit, you know, nothing. I don't know that I wasn't scantily clad in a lot of them. So.
But some of these pictures you were showing his nephew and you were naked.
My face is not in them. So they're kind of, yeah.
But he knows it's you.
Right. Now here's the thing. So I understand that's probably not kosher, but that was just their relationship anyway. I just kind of jumped into it. So that was not any sort of thing that I set up. That was just the thing that they had going. And I just assumed it was kind of antiseptic. I just assumed it was just kind of just what they did from an objective point of view. But yes, I thought it was also weird, but it doesn't bother me. Go ahead. Did you have a question?
When he was sending you guys pictures, I just want to make sure I have it clear. You know, was he sending you like pictures of their Instagram of, this is a girl I'm interested in, should I go for her? Or this is a girl I hooked up with. Here's a scandal. No, here's a naked picture of her. Or here's a video. Like what was he sending back and forth?
The gamut. So it would start out as just kind of a clean picture. Hey, here's your Instagram. Go check her out. Let's give an initial rating, 1 to 10, whatever. And then it would just kind of progress from there. So yeah. So eventually in game, we were getting all sorts of media.
Okay.
So yeah, every angle, right. You know, all that, right? So
okay.
Nothing that we all haven't seen before, but yeah, so it was just kind of equal on both sides. So naturally my thought was, being an open book, I was like, cool. You know, or what does he think of our pictures? Just kind of joking, right? Assuming that was the relationship. He was like, well, I don't send them. I don't want my nephew, best friend, brother, whatever, thinking that way of you. And had it stopped there, that would have been a perfectly logical assumption. And I would have been cool. That's what I would have said in the same situation. Now, my issue is, fast forward, we'll be in another context. It'll come up later. And he's like, well, in our culture, and I won't say which, but in our culture, anybody other than your significant other doesn't see you as anybody more than a sister. Also cool. But to me, those two can't be the same thing. Those can't be true at the same time. Because if that were true, then why not send the picture? So my assumption is that having rock bottom self-esteem, that the pictures weren't good enough to send, right? Especially if that was to be expected in the relationship, you know? So that was kind of my assumption as a girl. Now, logically, I know that's probably not the case, but that's what my mind immediately goes to. I'm like, well, why not send the pictures if we're all doing this anyway? You know, why wouldn't you brag? Why wouldn't you do all that? So that's my first assumption. Okay. So my thing, two issues for me. Number one, you know, is why those two answers, why I'm getting two different answers. One day I get, well, I don't want my brother, nephew, whatever, seeing you like that. And then the other day is, well, they would only see you as a sister anyway. So why not send the pictures? And then my second thought is, second question, I guess, is why do I feel the need to compete? When, quite frankly, I know I can't hold a candle to these girls anyway that he's hooking up with. But I can't, I don't want to lose to a girl if I'm not even in the game, you know?
Okay. There's a lot going on here. I want to make sure I'm recapping accurately. So you guys are sending these pictures back and forth and you're receiving pictures of your fiance's cousin and his escapades. And you know that your fiance is seeing them. You're not necessarily sure of what he's thinking about them. But he's telling you that this is some sort of guy code of like getting these images or whatever. And then you recognizing you have your insecurities about yourself are feeling like you're creating this kind of narrative in your head that the real reason why he's not sharing these images of you and him or specifically you is because you don't feel good enough or he doesn't want to brag about you.
Now I know how sick and twisted that is. Like I get it, but my point is that I don't why that's the relationship between the two of them. I don't know because it seems that I'm an open book, and it still seems like a lot.
So you mentioned something culture. Like again, I'm not asking. It sounds like you don't want to share that. That's fine. But it sounds like your fiance is from his family is deeply rooted in whatever culture they have.
He's from another country.
Oh, he's from another country.
Yeah, okay. And they're all still there. So his nephew, he's the only one from his family who has since moved to the U.S.
Gotcha. So, okay. That provides some context, only that maybe that's different. I don't know. Listen, here's the thing. I don't know. And so these women are from another country, I guess, or they're not here.
And it's I'll put it lightly. I mean, it's an incredibly aesthetically pleasing country.
Okay. Well, that's just in your head. I mean, you've created this narrative.
A couple of things I want to point out. One is that this guy code idea, I understand this is happening in another country or whatever, but the guy code thing is bullshit. It's not okay. What I'm saying is, my guess is the thing I'm thinking about mostly when you're telling the story is I'm assuming these other women have no idea that these pictures are being passed around. Maybe they do sometimes. I don't know. But my guess is they don't. And, you know, I think your biggest concern should be to your fiance and to your cousin, and he's in another country, so you don't have much control over him, is saying, listen, I don't feel quite comfortable with you sharing images of these women without their consent. I know guys do it. It's not okay.
They do have consent. That was my first question, too. I was like, first of all, you know what I mean?
Do they know? I mean, do you know for sure? I mean, I've had friends over the years. They've had, their girlfriends send them nudes or whatever. And, guys, they like to use it to brag. They're kind of a conquest, so to speak. Right. I'm certain that most of the time these girls don't know. I mean, listen, I think plenty of people or women out there who are sending nudes to their boyfriends with their faces cut off are, recognize that they don't want it to be shared, but maybe they know it is.
Right.
But I'm just here to say they shouldn't be sharing it, and it's not something they should do without their consent. Like, the people are into kinky shit, and so maybe they want to, and if they want to say, hey, listen, do you mind if I share it with my buddies, and they say it's okay, you know what? Fine. You know, if you guys are all into this kind of kinky stuff, more power to you. But I think I just want to make clear about sending a message around this guy code, or this is what guys do, and we share these kind of conquests. And if you're out there and you're listening and you are someone who shares images with your boyfriend, and you hear the, well, we just do it because we're guys, that's not a valid excuse. Particularly in your case, listen, you recognize the problem, and the problem is you.
100%. No, I'm well aware.
Hey, listen, I'm looking at you. You're a beautiful woman. If you're going to sit there and compare yourself to every woman out there, you're going to feel really insecure. If you're going to constantly, I'm a competitive person. I have my insecurities. I get complimented, but it sometimes never feels like it's good enough for my own ego. You just have to check it. It sounds like your insecurities are pretty intense and you are aware of them. And that's step one.
Right.
But what are you doing
to address that? Have you talked to a therapist about this? I mean, I only say that because it sounds like it's truly driving your actions in your life.
Yeah.
It's a messed up for you to even question whether your fiance's cousin is getting images of you. And I'm not saying that to judge you. Like, you recognize that's a little taboo, but you are feeding into your ego so much and your insecurities that and people do that. Like, the people do that to that. They get so tunnel vision that even when they know it's like, this is a little messed up, but I don't care. It's just all about your ego right now. Your ego needs to constantly feel like you're the best. You're the best he's had. And nothing is going to change that unless you address it. There's nothing your fiance can do to satisfy your ego. There's nothing his cousin can do in terms of, if your insecurities are so strong, your ego is so strong, it's not going to matter who he's sleeping with or the images of these women. You're going to find a way to feel insecure about it. Figs. Well, hey, listen, we know that we are never more appreciative of our healthcare and frontline workers now more than ever with dealing with this pandemic. And if you want to support your healthcare worker, there's a lot of things you can do. And one thing you can do is getting them amazing scrubs like Figs that they can wear because they're wearing them day in and day out. I love my scrubs. I'm not a healthcare worker, but I'll tell you what, they're very comfortable. You can tell they're the highest of quality. And honestly, I like the way they look. And I know my healthcare friends love Figs. They love their Figs. They have them. And so if you have anyone that you know in your life that is a healthcare professional, I guarantee you they will appreciate this thoughtful gift.
Yeah, my cousin works the drive-up testing sites. So I'm so glad there are companies like Figs that are making sure he's protected. And now I can send him something myself just to send a little something that he can be useful to show him some appreciation.
In response to COVID-19, Figs has donated over 30,000 sets of scrubs to hospitals across the country, donated 100,000 to the Frontline Responders Fund to help ship PPE and supplies, and sent hundreds of care packages to those who need it most. They're super comfortable, ridiculously soft, and some styles even have yoga waistbands. Today is more important than ever to recognize all of the selfless medical professionals in our lives. Whether you're one of these awesome humans or you're someone who wants to say thank you with a set of scrubs, Figs has your back and is offering listeners of the Vial Files 15% off for a limited time. Just go to wearfigs.com. That is WEARFIGS.com and enter code VIALL15. At checkout. Modern fertility, baby. Well, baby, we want to make some babies. Don't we want to make some babies? What do you think, Chrissy? I don't know. I feel like we should all want to make some babies.
I mean, you can make some babies, and this is a great tool to plan for that. But the important thing to remember is that modern fertility is not just a product for now. It's a product to help women curious about their bodies and cycles so that they can have the info they need to make smarter choices for their body even 3 to 5 years from now. This test is powerful and actionable because the results of this test can be used to ask questions and to start bigger conversations about your family planning with and your overall fertility with your doctor. If you don't know what to ask or want to connect with other women, they have a community online you can join to speak with nurses and hear other women's experiences. It's about empowering women with their fertility health knowledge, and I can't wait to get mine so I can try it myself and see what it's like.
Obviously, I'm not a woman, and I don't have to deal with some of the stuff that you women do, especially even when it comes to, you know, trying to conceive. But it's been really fun to see some of our listeners use Modern Fertility, hear their stories, and all the information they were excited to learn about themselves and how it's helped them become more knowledgeable and conceiving, whether, again, now or in the future. Right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/VIALL. That means your test will cost $139 instead of the hundreds or thousands it could cost at a doctor's office. Get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/VIALL. modernfertility.com/VIALL.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, it's insatiable, probably to say the least in that sense. And I know that there's nothing that's going to pacify it. I don't know where to go from it. I don't know.
Is your husband aware of your fiance aware of these insecurities that you have?
Yeah, for sure. And I think we've talked about it and I've always had debilitating anxiety. I've always been open about that.
You need to actually start doing things to try to address your insecurities. I mean, it's great that you are open with your fiance about doing this, but you need to say, all right, what do I need to do to stop feeling this way? Ask your fiance, listen, it would really make me, I understand you. I hope that you have a relationship with your cousin that's deeper than sending nudes of women he's having sex with. So can you not do that anymore? Because this is how I feel and I need to work on myself, but I just want to feel like I'm not being compared. You should not want him to send, like, keep that between the two of you. Have him help you. And he should, the right answer that he should give you is, yeah, whatever you need. You know, he shouldn't debate you on this.
And I don't know that he would. I think, you know, where I'm at right now is it's one of those, obviously I don't want to dictate what he does, but it's one of those, like, we both need to send pictures or nobody does. You know what I mean? So it's just, it's a little bit of a pissing contest at the moment.
Yeah, this whole thing is kind of, it sounds, the way you're describing it, it's kind of gotten weird. You should just stop.
Right. You know.
He shouldn't be, if he wants to send you guys images of a girl he's like thinking about going out with, but like this guy, it's the way you're describing his cousin is a guy who has no problem meeting women and hooking up with women. And it's just feeding his ego. All right. It's a toxic behavior. So like you're feeding into this. Like this is not like some insecure guy. He's like, I kind of have a crush on this girl. What do you think I should do? No, this is a guy who's constantly bragging to you and your fiance. So, you know, without making him feel judged, just be like, I don't really want to be a part of that. And like, that's all, I'm glad that you're having fun, but just stop the whole thing, you know, and just say, listen, this is how it makes me feel. I don't want to see other women. I don't want my fiance seeing it. Like, yeah, you don't expect your fiance to be a priest. You recognize that he's out there and the internet exists. And, you know, if he's going to see other attractive women, but he doesn't need to see it from his quote unquote, as you say, best friend, cousin, someone who's so close that he thinks of him as a brother. It's like,
well, how do I relay that to him without sounding, because it really, honestly, as insecure as I am, I don't know that he's seeing their pictures. I don't know is the part that bothers me. So how do I relay that to him without it sounding like that's the part I have a problem with?
Well, to say the whole thing has gotten a little bit out of control. It is about your insecurities and say like, listen, like this is how it makes me feel. I don't feel comfortable with you constantly receiving these images of like, you don't have to be close with them. Cultural differences are not.
Right.
And you know, he is your fiance. He's here in this culture. And like, I'm not saying you should ask him to like remove his, but you know, that's not an excuse to do whatever he wants to say, well, this is where I'm from and it's okay here. It's like, fine, but he's in a relationship with you and he has to be able to compromise like everyone in a relationship does. So yeah, just tell him that you're uncomfortable with it and why. The fact that it's leading you to even debate why he's not sending images of you is enough of a reason to say like, this is what I'm thinking and I feel crazy thinking it and I know it's crazy, but I'd really, you know, there's like anything else, when it's how you communicate it. If you like attack him and make him feel like he's doing something wrong, he's going to get defensive. If you're just like, listen, this makes me feel the way I do, and I would really appreciate if you don't, you know, because I want to get through these insecurities and I want your help doing it. And it would really mean a lot if you ask him not to send these images, because, you know, it makes me feel really insecure. The concern is you are letting your insecurities and your ego and the need to constantly be fulfilled to do some things that deep down, it doesn't sound like you're very comfortable with.
But I think what I'm frustrated with is that I have my own company. Like, it's like, I pride myself on being like chronologically relatively a couple years ahead. And it's like this part of me just never grew up. I'm 26 going on 14 with it. And it's just,
yeah, well, you know, 26 is still pretty young and
people have a lot of growing up to do past 26, you know, recognizing that you still have things to learn. It sounds like, again, you are very intelligent and maybe wise beyond your years, and that's all great. In fact, you date other men, totally fine. But it sounds like your challenge is this kind of juxtaposition between I'm smart and I'm accomplished and I have my own company versus I'm still doing immature things. They're not mutually exclusive. And so recognizing is a great first step, but now doing something about it and acknowledging that you need to help yourself in certain areas of your life doesn't mean that you're not overall a success.
I don't think that much of myself. I just feel...
Listen, some of the people with the biggest egos have the biggest insecurities. Some people confuse that with like, he has a big ego. He has no... Think about some of the people in the world today that you would think have the biggest ego, and they're wildly insecure. And they're doing things that constantly... You know, the whole like... old school, like the guy who drives like the Porsche, you know, who like, yo, that he must have a big ego. And he probably, you know, there are a lot of stereotypes about why guys drive expensive cars, right? You know, overcompensating for things. And there's a lot of truth to that. You know, you are overcompensating a lot of ways. So again, just because I say you have a massive ego, your first thought is, well, but I'm insecure. I get it. That's what I mean. You're constantly doing things to feed your insecurities, and your ego feels like it can handle these insecurities. And a lot of people make that mistake. And what you need to do is lean into your insecurities, acknowledge them, not try to solve those problems by filling your ego, but actually breaking down those insecurities, maybe talking to a therapist, you know, addressing them, like face them head on, not make excuses or do like superficial things that make you feel better in the moment, like a compliment, or, you know, having your cousin think you're hot, you know,
right.
Or your, you know, things like that.
What's a good way to do, I mean, I guess the same answer, but what's a good way to deal with the fact that this dude's like completely out of my league? So how does
what
that
dude?
My fiance. My fiance.
It's in your head. Clearly he's not. You're
his fiance. Clearly, yeah.
I wouldn't fucking say that to him, because I'll tell you what, people do that a lot. You know, the person's like, how did I get you? And then the person you're dating is like, well, babe, I love you. You're great. And then you keep saying that. And one day they wake up, you're like, I don't know, maybe you are out of my league.
I'm hoping he doesn't realize it.
Well, stop
planting that seed in his head. You will drive him away eventually if you constantly feel like you're not good enough.
Can I tell you something that's going to sound so corny and so like ridiculous, but it's something that I did that somebody recommended to me and helped me immensely
with
my security? Cause I'm like almost like physically the opposite of you. Correct. So like, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you are a beautiful girl. You're very smart. I can see that. Someone told me one day, go into your bathroom, take your lipstick, write "I am enough" on the mirror.
Okay.
And let it sit there for a week. And every day that you go into the bathroom, repeat that to yourself.
Okay.
And it sounds so corny. I know it sounds corny, but you have no idea how, when you start telling your stuff that over and over again, instead of telling yourself, am I good enough for this guy, over and over again, how much it starts to sink in.
Yeah. What it is, you say it enough. I'm a salesman. Like, I, you know, if you say it enough, I mean, I'm sure it, some part of it, you know, by
osmosis, sinks in. It's a mantra, and you're right. It can be corny, and it can be helpful. And you have definitely, you know, it's. And then, listen, you're anonymous, and people can't see what you look like, and you're a totally beautiful girl, right? Like, and it goes to show that it doesn't matter who you are or what you look like. People have a way of, you know, becoming more insecure. And you really can change your perspective on how you address your insecurities, because saying you have them is step one, but what you're doing to address your insecurities, I think you need to drastically change.
I mean, something needs to change. It's living rent free in my head. I mean, this is too much time involved. You know, it's all consuming. I mean, to a degree, you know,
totally.
Yeah.
But you need to put a stop to this other stuff and these pictures and videos, and you've it's gotten toxic. But nothing you can't change and control. You just have to really want to do it, you know. And we just get in our habits of, you know, poor me, I feel this way, et cetera, et cetera. But we're not really willing to change anything about it. So,
well, when I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, I'm sure.
There you go. Well,
you know, something will snap too.
Step one. But I think that's what you got to do. All right. Take care.
Okay.
How's it going?
It's going all right. Hanging in there during quarantine. Still kind of quarantined. But yeah, my name is Sarah, and I'm 24, almost 25.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. It's not till August, but
how can
that, that felt necessary to say. So not that long ago, I would say, I don't know, a few weeks ago, I just kind of had this like weird feeling. And I'll preface it by saying that I understand that this is probably not the best way to go about it, but it's what I did. And I just decided to go through my boyfriend's Google Drive, and he has an Android. So it, you know, it's like synced to his phone.
Okay.
So I go in Google Drive, and I don't really have to like click on anything. It, you know, you just like, it pops up. And as soon as I open it, there's like all of these nudes from like all of his ex-girlfriends. And there's like a sex tape on there from the girl that he dated right before me. And I just didn't really know how to process it. So I like called some of my friends and I was like, I don't know what to do. And obviously they're, you know, saying, okay, well, you shouldn't have looked through his stuff. And I was like, yes, I know, but I did. And I can't unsee what I saw. So I ended up packing all my stuff up because I've been quarantining at his house. And I left and went back to my house. And then we kind of talked about it and he got really upset and basically was kind of like, it's, you shouldn't have went through my stuff. So like, that's kind of what you get for going through my stuff, which felt kind of like gaslighting in a way. And I was like, well, you're not even like acknowledging what I'm like saying or what I found. And it was kind of just like get over it type situation. And like, I asked him to delete them and he said that he did. And I went and looked again and they were still there. So it's just like a tricky thing. And then he said that he wasn't looking at them regularly or at all. They were just there and he like completely forgot they were there and like doesn't look at them. So
he definitely didn't forget. I don't know how often he looked at them, but he definitely didn't forget.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And I told him, like, I was under the impression for, like, me and my relationships that those kind of things you don't keep whenever you're in another supposed serious relationship with someone.
How long have you been dating him?
6 months.
Okay, so not too long.
Yeah, not too long. You know, I was like, okay, well, I have to make a decision on whether or not I believe him and to move forward. And so like, I decided to like come back and figure it out, but it's still kind of been a continuous like issue for me because I can't like get the images out of my head. And then it makes me feel insecure. And it's like, I don't want to feel any of those things. So I don't know if this is a red flag or if it's just something that I need to let go and move on from. I don't know. So that's why I'm here.
Okay, cool. Well, great question. I think it's very relatable, to a lot of people out there. Nudes are a tricky business and they're kind of a lot of a gray area of, you know, what's socially acceptable. The truth is like, yeah, there's a lot of gray and I think people are becoming more and more kind of, sexually advanced, I guess you could say, in terms of the, you know, what's acceptable, what's not. And it comes down to what you're comfortable with. But listen, yes. Do guys who have nudes, or whatever those might be, of exes or girls they dated or hooked up with immediately delete when they get into a committed relationship? It sounds nice, but they don't. Does that mean subsequently that they aren't committed to your relationship and still fantasize about these other girls all the time? Not necessarily. And oftentimes, probably not. It's just, listen, yes, you were totally wrong by looking at his stuff.
Yes, I know.
You know, ideally, people should want to be in relationships where they feel comfortable enough at an appropriate time, whenever that is, and every relationship is different, to have these types of conversations. Hey, have you ever like, tell me about your past girlfriends. Did you guys send nudes? Oh, like, I don't know if have you and your boyfriend exchanged photos or videotaped yourselves at all?
I mean, yeah, there's definitely been photos that I've sent.
Okay. And my guess is that probably it's like that's what causes us to raise questions in our head. Well, if I'm doing it with him, I'm guessing he's encouraged you to send him photos.
Of course.
Yeah. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that in a relationship to be turned down by your partner, be like, hey babe, can you send me something? That's totally fine. But it clicked in your head and you thought to yourself, well, he's had other girlfriends. They sent him other stuff. I wonder if he has stuff of, you know, pics of them.
Like, that was
definitely your train of thought that's caused you to, like, you know, justify your actions. And yes. And so, I guess what I'm saying is, like, it does happen and you need to want to have these conversations that you should have, you know, again, when you have these thoughts and insecurities, you should feel comfortable enough in the relationship to have this conversation. Now, that person has the opportunity to lie or tell the truth at that moment, but
That's what I was going
to
say.
When you ask about red flags, yeah, those are the red flags you really need to take in consideration.
You know, if you think to yourself, oh, I wonder if he has images like this, I want to talk to him about it. Well, I don't feel like he would tell me the truth. And if he, whatever he tells me, I don't know if I can believe him. That's the red flag. Now, does that mean, is that a reflection on him or is that a reflection on you? I don't know. You know, sometimes a lack of ability to believe someone says more about yourself. So yeah, sometimes not trusting someone can come from yourself and it might come from things that they're doing that make you not want to trust them. Mm-hmm. But either way, that's a red flag in the relationship, right? So your desire to go behind his back and look is a red flag for the relationship in general, mm-hmm, right? The fact that he has these images, like, I'm not here to say whether he's like some sort of creep for holding onto these images. Guys do it, all right? It's, you should be in a relationship, however, that you should feel like in the relationship, you should have the comfort level to ask him to delete them and trust that he will if he says he won't. Like, you have a right to do that in a relationship. The reality is, since you only been dating for 6 months and you're 24, and how old is he?
He's 25 right now.
Yeah, he's 25. In the back of his mind, and he's just like, well, what if we break up? You know, like, I don't want to get like, what if I get back together? Before, like, you know, the age of the internet, what it is now, my very first girlfriend and I, like, it was before it was a thing, you know, we had some pictures of each other, you know, and they were like in Polaroid cameras. And then, like, we broke up a bunch of times, right? So one time we broke up and then we got back together and we were both like, oh, thankfully we didn't get rid of these because, like, now we'll never break up again. And now we have these, you know, so
it's such a gray area in terms of
like, I think to myself, well, if I dated someone in between that breakup and she asked me in 6 months dating, you know, I don't know. Like, it's a, that part is kind of a gray area, but I strongly feel that if you are in a committed relationship and you believe in this relationship, you have the right to ask them to delete it and you should feel like you can trust him. It doesn't sound like you do. He's proven, regardless whether you were right or wrong for looking, to have lied about some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. So now you know he's capable of lying to you. And so now you have a problem trusting him. So as far as what you should do going forward, I wouldn't get into the weeds too much about the details of you were wrong to look. He has these photos, but the big picture problem is you don't trust the guy.
Yeah, that is the problem. And that's ultimately like why I did what I did, because I didn't trust that he would tell me the truth. Because there was a little...
And next time this happens...
In your next relationship, because I'm just going to assume he's not your guy. Next time you have these insecurities, do the right thing and talk to him about it. You know, maybe it is, I've been in this other relationship where he did this. And before you violate his trust by going behind his back and looking at his phone or checking his emails, be willing to have a conversation with him about how you feel and what your insecurities are and what you're worried about. And if every person you date, you are worried that he's going to lie to you, then that's a you problem.
Right.
But hopefully you date someone who you just makes you feel like you can trust them through his actions and his words. You know, there's probably some things he does that give you a reason not to trust him. You know, every relationship's different. So I find that the older you get and the more experience you get with dating, you will be better at having these conversations up front. You won't be so afraid to ask these questions. You won't, you know, young women do this a lot too. They'll ask their friends, is it okay to ask this? Should I ask this? Is this like, I don't want to be too controlling. I mean, I don't want to sound crazy. I don't want to, you know, listen, just fucking ask. Be like, hey, do you do this shit?
I want to know, you know?
Yeah. I think like though in like some of our conversations, because I have tried to be very upfront about my insecurities, because I do also come from like a very religious background. So there's like all of those things that I have to like unlearn.
Got some religious guilt.
Yeah, about like, you know, sex positivity and all of these things. And so I've tried to be vocal about that and like express my insecurities. And he kind of just like plays it off as like social media, like immaturity things. And I'm just like, well, I'm just trying to be like upfront with you and express how I feel. Yeah. And then you're kind of turning it back on me for being like ridiculous that I would ever even.
No, he is definitely, he's definitely gaslighting you in these situations to defend himself. He's using your mistake to justify what he's doing. And just because you made the mistake of looking good behind his back doesn't mean he made the mistake of holding on. And again, I'm not judging him for like not deleting it just because he got a girlfriend right away.
Right.
And like the fact that he might have looked, again, and guys, you know.
Well, and I asked him whenever
I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying guys do it.
Yeah. Well, and he made the comment. He was like, why would I look at old content? Which was like funny, but also like, you know.
He definitely does.
Yeah.
He has. He has.
And he might not, he might have gone months without looking. And then, you know, I'm not saying he's looking at it every day. I'm not saying it's part of his spank bank, but I'm just saying he's looked. And, you know, we live in this age where this is like a new weird thing about dating now. Like nudes are a thing.
You know, people send nudes. We become more,
you know, platforms like Snapchat or even like DMs and Instagram where they like, they go away and things like that have given us a little bit more liberty. And I'm like, oh, it's, and you know, the truth is in a relationship, that can be a fun exchange between a couple to do, you know, there's no judgment here, you know, and, but it creates confusion if that relationship doesn't work out or insecurities. I guess my final thought is just, you know, you stand your ground with things like that and whatever bothers you, you just have to be willing to say it and don't worry about, you know, we say this, don't worry about being the cool chick and don't worry about sounding crazy. Just do what you think is right and stand your ground and stop, you know, address your insecurities before going behind their back to give them a reason to, you know, accuse you of doing things that are wrong. Because people will do that, right? You know?
Absolutely.
Everyone.
Yeah, and I talked to my therapist about it and she was like, yeah, you don't need to be doing that. And I was like, I know. So
it sounds like this relationship is creating way more confusion and insecurities than it's creating, you know, comfort and trust. And I think in relationships, we sometimes will then decide to fix these relationships instead of realizing that they're not right for us. And I don't think a 6-month relationship at 24 years old is worth putting that much effort in fighting for when there's this much distraction and mistrust in the relationship.
Yeah, that's probably the truth.
Nah, he's just a boy who's good at making you feel not good about yourself and then, you know, feeding your ego to try to, you know, feel good enough for him.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, he's not like a bad person or, you know, he does do like some things, you know, the right, sorry, there's a bug.
Yeah. He's just a guy. He's a boy. And I'm not saying, and this is not a boys will be boys thing, but yeah, I don't think he's a monster or a creep. I think he's just a guy too, but he's not good at me. And he sounds like he has some growing up to do a little bit. And the fact that he has at 25 years old, so much content, says to me, he's going to want to get more content. You know, there's one thing having a couple, if the guy has a library and he's holding on to his library, it means he's something he's into. And you either need to be into it too, or you need to remove yourself.
Some of the ones that he did have were from the ex-girlfriend before for me. And he dated her for 2 years and had all of, you know, so that it's just, it raised a lot of questions.
And again, I think he's,
yeah, he's kind of sexually advanced and comfortable asking, and you need to either get on his level, and you don't need, if you want to be in this relationship, and it sounds like you're not quite there, and that's totally okay. And I wouldn't encourage you to act like you are or pretend that you are and do things that you're not comfortable with. Just to feel like you're good enough for him.
That's a very good insight.
I think you should break up with this guy.
And I don't mean like he's some sort of monster.
I just gonna say that.
I just
I was preparing myself. For
it seems clear that it just doesn't make you
the relationships that make you feel good about yourself you should feel you should have not have confusion and insecurities, and that always happens from time to time. But it sounds like it's pretty that those feelings dominate this relationship.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So, all right. Well, best of luck.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. All right. Thanks for calling in.
Of course. Bye.
How's it going?
Hi, I'm Jade. I'm 22 from Dallas.
Hi, Jade, 22 from Dallas. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. How can I help?
So, I got out of a pretty serious relationship about a year and a half ago, and I've kind of been taking this time to, you know, make amazing friendships. I'm 2/3 of the way through my grad program. I moved into my own place, so I'm not really in a rush to get into a relationship. So I am bisexual, and I came out this year to my family, so that was a pretty big deal.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I'm also a Christian, so dating isn't, you know, the easiest, being a bisexual Christian.
I mean, I guess this depends on who you're surrounding yourself with, but how'd your family handle it?
I mean, they were very loving and accepting. I think it was kind of a shock to them at first, but yeah. So I live in Texas, so it's a very like cultural Christianity here.
Sure.
It's not so much the California Christianity that you probably experience.
Not as progressive, but
right.
Sure. Okay. So
just, yeah, your insight tips on how to navigate it.
Well, I mean, are you struggling with some stuff right now, or is this like is it more based out of fear or actual experiences with, of feeling that? And are you asking in a way of like, are you a devout Christian who is active in your church and community and you're feeling this pressure to, mm-hmm. you get what I'm saying? Like, give me some more insight in terms to what do you mean by that? Other than like, hey, yeah. I mean, I grew up Catholic, you know, but I don't go to church as much right now. But at the same time, I don't feel that pressure.
Yeah. So, I mean, I go to church. I have a great relationship with God, and I'm not really looking for somebody who's devout church-like. I've had experiences, the extremes, right? So, the super conservative Christian and then the super liberal doesn't believe in God. And then kind of like the middle ground is where I'm at and what I'm kind of looking for. So, and I listened to you and Rachel and the way you guys spoke about faith. And that's kind of like what I am as well.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think my guess is, you know, you're kind of going through this discovery process in your life, if you will, both internally as a person, your sexuality, and your faith. And that's constantly evolving. As far as being an active member in your church and feeling judged for your sexuality, you know, I don't really have a clear answer for you other than, listen, a lot of people, humans, have a lot of opinions about God, which I find to be ironic. Yeah. When you think about it, and listen, I believe in God. I know I'm not him, kind of thing is something I actively and we have a lot of assumptions about what's a sin and what's not, and certainly people love to get heated when they think they have it figured out. But at the end of the day, you know, I guess we'll all find out if we're lucky enough to meet the guy, whether we got it right or not. But until then, I think it's just important to follow your heart and surround yourself with people that make you feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
And listen,
that has been like my straight girlfriends. So, you know, I have those kind of people around me, but finding like romantic partners that are kind of where I'm at, it's been kind of like the extremes that I found, at least in Texas. So I don't know if I'm in the wrong state or...
I mean, listen, there's still a lot of my gut tells me from the bisexual friends that I have and ones that are women. Mm-hmm. If you meet a guy and you tell him you're bisexual, you're going to get a lot of questions.
a lot of, oh, that's hot, or like fetishizing it.
I mean, listen, the thing is, like, the fact that you're bisexual has nothing to do whether you have an interest in being in a monogamous relationship or not. You know what I'm saying? Like, exactly. You could be a straight person and want an open relationship and being a swinger, and you can be gay and want a monogamous relationship, and you can be bisexual. So if you're bisexual and you happen to be attracted to men or women, if you're dating a man and you want a monogamous relationship, well, that has nothing to do with, like, well, it's not like a get out of jail free card to, like, mess around with women.
Right. Exactly.
And so, again, I think there's always going to be a lot of ignorance, and, you know, people don't know. And so I think you need to make sure whoever you're dating needs to have simply an open mind.
Yeah.
Right. They can be a devout Christian and have an open mind.
And honestly, I've never felt like more in touch with my faith, like, than when I came out. I feel the most authentic to myself. I feel like this is the way God made me. And you know what? I want my partner to go to church with me. I want them to go to Pride with me. I want them to go to women's marches. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
That is so, like, I think sexuality and Christianity go so hand in hand. And that's just my belief. So I'm just looking for a partner that feels
totally
the same.
And that's the thing is the reality, especially in Texas, there's probably a lot of people who disagree with you. Right.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And you just have to make sure you're surrounding yourself with people who allow you to be who you are, not feel a judgment. And that's a process, right? I sense that you're still, again, figuring yourself out, and that's okay. My advice to you, if I had any, is don't be in a rush. You know, again, regardless of your sexuality, you're only 22. Don't be in a rush to settle down.
I'm not at all.
Yeah, take some time to continue to grow your faith at your age, especially now that you've kind of been more honest and open with yourself and your family, and take some time to discover the type of relationship you want. You know, I don't know what it's like to be bisexual. So, like, are you bisexual, but you know you want to settle down with a man, or you might want to marry a woman? So
I'm open.
So, given that, you know, do you want to have a monogamous relationship someday?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So that means you have a lot to consider, right? Because a monogamous relationship with a life partner who it's a woman is a very different life than with a man. That's by simple biology, you know, certain life choices. If you wanted to have a family, you're going to have to do it in a non-traditional way. That's fine.
And
but you just have to make those.
Anyway,
So listen, I guess what I'm saying is you seem, like I said, to be in a discovery process of your life, which is pretty normal at your age. And I would just allow that to flourish and be very open. And if it means, you know, maybe you will move someday, maybe you won't. I don't know. But my guess is you're still, like, have some fear about judgment and people in your community. And that's normal. And you're definitely going to meet that. And you know, you just kind of surround yourself with people who bring out the best in you, and that's all you can really do.
Yeah. Unfortunately, all those people are straight and beautiful females that be with.
have you looked into, like, LGBTQ, like, faith-based groups in your area at all? I mean, I know I live in LA and, like, those kind of, like, exist, but I'm sure there's gotta be some that exist down there that maybe is a way that you can find a community and find some people that are aligned with what your goals are.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I'll look into that. Churches that are more LGBTQ friendly.
It seems like you might have an easier chance of, you know, it sounds like you have, like, when it comes to women and your attraction to them, that you want to do more exploring in that area because maybe you've dated more men so far.
Yeah. I mean, I've openly dated more men, I would say.
Okay. Yeah. You might have an interaction with you might have an interaction with a woman who doesn't identify as bisexual or gay, but maybe she's curious or had two vodka sprites, you know.
I've definitely had those experiences. I just, like, for the serious relationship, you know, it's a little different.
I think you just have some discovery to do, and all you can really do is just be open, you know. But it sounds like you're on your way, and the Christian element, listen, there's a lot of people in this world, a lot of Christians, and a lot of people have, you know, various struggles with what they think is right and wrong, and you know, we'll all figure it out at the end.
Yeah, you're right.
So, all right. You have a good day. All right, best of luck.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Bye. Bye. How's it going?
I'm Hannah, 26.
Hi, Hannah, 26.
Hi. So my email was super long. Sorry that you had to read it. So I'll try and make a really long story short and just kind of get right into it. I was dating someone from work, which is already a bad idea, for about a year and a half. And I just found out in March that he was engaged for a year of that.
Okay.
And so disgusting. Yeah. So, kind of, I guess my question is, and I know, you know, everyone's kind of just guessing. I enjoy a male perspective in general. You know, all my girlfriends are like, well, you know, like he's just a bad person. And like, that's what it is. And like, I just have a problem accepting just that. I guess my question would kind of just be like, just like the why. I don't get it. I've never cheated on anyone. Obviously in this situation, I'm not the one who got cheated on. That would be his fiance. But I just like, to me, it's not just cheating. This seems like a full on double life. Like he stayed the night at my house. He would like FaceTime me in the morning to wake up. Aside from like, I have no idea where she was because they live together. Mm-hmm. I can't get the why. Like, and I'll never know from him, obviously. I never said anything to him. I DM'd her and told her, and me and her texted back and forth for a few days. She ended up being the one to tell him that she knew, and I just kind of let that be it. So I never said anything to him. He never reached out to me, and that was kind of it. So obviously I didn't, and I chose not to say anything. I know I could have, but I just don't get why. Like, that's a very long
time. So when you say why, you don't get why
someone would lead a double life and cheat on their fiance and et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess I don't know why either.
Per se, in the sense that like, I've never done that either. So I don't know. I can't speak firsthand of why people do that. I mean, we can make a lot of guesses and assumptions. Clearly he's got some issues. I don't know if it's as dark as him being like a full on narcissist. Maybe, I don't know. Or he, you know, there's some sort of compulsive lying going on there. And maybe he's simply just a weak person who isn't happy in his relationship. And it was too much of a coward to end that relationship before he tried to move on to another one.
Yeah.
To, you know,
testing things out with you before he fully left that relationship. I don't know. But I think more importantly, you just need to figure out why you need to know why. You know, and my guess is you probably feel silly, stupid, naive. You're judging yourself. I should have known.
Yeah.
And you're telling yourself, well, if I can understand why he's willing to do this, then I can then I won't judge myself for being duped as much.
Yeah.
That's why you're doing that. And I think that's really the more important piece here. Don't spend a lot of energy trying to understand crazy. Kind of hard to do. And so, listen, you know, my guess is I wouldn't spend too much time playing back the relationship in your mind and ruminating about it. But
yeah,
I think if you do that in the short term to remember conversations and red flags and things that he said and did is, you know what? It felt wrong. In my gut, it felt wrong. In my gut, it seemed like something was off, but I didn't trust my gut in that moment.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do that. It doesn't necessarily lead to realizing that the person they were hanging out with had a double life. But regardless, people don't follow their guts all the time only to realize that their gut was right. And now they have an opportunity to go back and think, all right, you know what?
next time I feel this way, I'm going to trust my gut a little bit more. You know? Yeah.
And I can recognize like the part, you know, it takes two to tango, like the part that I played in it. There was a million and one red flags. And what I thought was okay was just like, I would bring them up. You know, I would like bring him to my house, have like a sit down, what I thought was like an adult conversation, and be like, this is weird. What's up with this? And then he would just have the perfect response. And I'd be like, okay, well, like I brought it up. So like, I still like noticed the red flag.
Well, how many times were you having these types of conversations in the beginning of a relationship is the question, you know, like.
Like, oh.
Well, there you go. That part's on you, right? Like, and I don't say that as a judgment part, but it's kind of fascinating how many people are willing to have these like crazy conversations about what's okay and what's not okay in like the first 6 months of a relationship. I mean,
yeah.
If you have this much disconnect with someone, if you're having all these conversations about things that don't make you feel good or right, or things that feel off to you, regardless of how good they are explaining themselves, the important thing is this person is making you feel off more often than not in the early stages of a relationship.
Yeah.
Now, that's all you need to know. And you know what? That doesn't necessarily even mean that this person has a double life or et cetera, et cetera. It's just whatever it is and whatever their explanation is, this person constantly makes you feel off. Mm-hmm. And maybe that simply just means that you guys are two different people, but certainly it means that you're probably not compatible. Don't confuse that excitement of trying to figure them out with the excitement of meeting someone you're compatible with.
You know, because
this confusion can be very much confused and masked with excitement about, oh, he's mysterious and I don't understand. Like, oh, wow, it's just, I can't figure him out. And that's
stimulating, you know, as opposed to the guy who like, oh, I love you, I'll do anything for you. You're like, yeah, I'm bored.
Yeah. That's the weird part to me though, is, I mean, everything you're saying is, yeah, it's like you understand the full situation. That's something that seems so bizarre to me, not to say that the entire situation is bizarre, but we had what I would recognize, you know, I've been in one before, a very toxic relationship. Like there was a lot of fighting. And like I said, I've never cheated on someone, but I would just imagine you would want it to be like carefree or something. Like, how are you having, why are you cheating on your fiance just to have a toxic relationship? Like, wouldn't you want it to be
again,
fun or something?
You're spending all this energy trying to understand crazy.
You know, I don't have an answer for you other than right now you're starting to go down a path of having your own kind of toxic analysis of this relationship.
Yeah.
And again, I do that too. You know, you're overanalyzing a situation that you just need to accept happened. You need to learn from what happened as opposed to you're trying to process his intentions. I mean, that's kind of nuts when you think about it, when you say it out loud. I'm trying to like understand why he did what he did. Who gives a shit whether he, you know.
I don't understand why he did what he did.
And I can make a lot of guesses on why he chose to have a toxic relationship with you. Maybe he just likes drama.
You know, I don't know. And it doesn't really matter. You know, I don't want to spend a lot of time figuring out what his intentions were with this relationship he had with you.
The important thing is that next time you're in a relationship, you just need to learn from this and better recognize red flags and better recognize your ability to trust your gut. You know, and not let this make you paranoid. Don't look for problems, but when things come up, you go, this doesn't feel right. I felt this before, and address that feeling as opposed to, you know, a lot of times, you know, it's scary to like have a gut feeling, you know, especially if you're committed in a relationship, because you're like, oh, my gut tells me something. And if my gut's right, I'm going to feel stupid. I might lose this person. I might feel silly. I might be heartbroken. So we want part of the reason why he was able to convince you of these things is because you wanted to be convinced.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as hard to convince you of the lie he was telling than you think, because you were willing to believe anything.
It had to be somewhat
believable because you didn't want to believe that this shit was going on.
Yeah.
And so you just have to become a little bit more bolder and a little bit more braver to trust your gut. And it's scary to trust your gut. It's hard to do. It's a learned behavior. It's a skill.
Yeah.
Because the truth does hurt sometimes. So sometimes it's easier to accept the lie.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's all you really need to do.
So
yeah.
Stop trying to understand why he did what he did. Focus on what you did and going forward, what you can do to avoid these situations. And I don't mean avoid a guy who has a double life, but avoid guys who make you feel confused and give you a bad feeling and not trying to fix that feeling, but not, you know, there's a million different ways you can have a toxic relationship. So this behavior that you're getting yourself into is you're at risk of finding another toxic relationship, even if it doesn't mean that he has a double life. So, trust your gut. All right. Well, thank you for calling. Best of luck. You're going to be fine.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Take care.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Another fun episode. What did we learn today? What are our big takeaways? Trust your gut seems to be a theme.
Insecurities. Believe in yourself. Nudes are so tricky.
Just find your voice, you know, I guess it's a common theme, but we can never remind ourselves too much of that. But as always, thanks for listening, guys. We really appreciate it. Don't forget to send in your questions at asknick@castme.com, cast with a K. We certainly appreciate your stories and your willingness to share them. And obviously, continue to support the people around you, people who are different than you. You know, try to amplify the voices of your friends who maybe not have been as privileged as you. And as always, we sincerely appreciate you listening, taking the time to join us. Don't forget to send in your reviews on iTunes. And anything else, Chrissy?
5 stars.
5 stars, baby. We will see you on Wednesday.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first 3 audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.